All right, 99.5 KKLA FM Los Angeles, the intersection of faith and reason, right here at the Frank Pastore Show, where afternoons, Monday through Friday from 4 to 7, we engage on the issues that you care about. And our phone number to join me is always 888-995-KKLA, and our email frank@kkla.com. All right, one of the things I want to do on this Thursday before Good Friday tomorrow is to go through with you some of the arguments in defense of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Folks, bottom line, this is the event upon which the entire superstructure of Christianity rests. If this event happened, if it's historical, if it's real, if there was a bodily resurrection of this man from Nazareth, if this happened, it changes everything. I believe it has. For much of my life, until I was 27 years old, I just thought it was false. I just thought it was cute, maybe an allegory, a metaphor, some kind of a cute story, but not real. And then I was challenged to disprove Christianity at the age of 27 years old, and for the first time in my life, was given arguments to consider about the truthfulness of Christianity. So it all rests on this event. Christianity is either true or false based upon the bodily resurrection of Jesus. That's why it's a big deal. Now, Christians don't celebrate and worship on Friday like Muslims do, nor do we do it on Saturday. We do it on Sunday. Why? He rose again on Sunday. So he died on Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jerusalem time. He died at 3. That's in the middle of the day on Friday. That's day one. Sundown Friday night begins day two, all day two Saturday. Sunrise begins Sunday morning. You're now in day three, and so there's your 3 days, unless you're trying to undo the math here. Remember, it's under Jewish time on 3 days, not a Hellenistic or a Roman sense of time. And so it's Friday afternoon. There's Friday day, all day Saturday. Sundown Saturday night begins day three, and then, of course, sunrise, the fulfillment of day three, and Jesus is has risen from the dead. Now, let's look at the biblical arguments in defense of the bodily resurrection. Now, look, God's smart. He knows that there are going to be those that don't believe this and come up with accusations. And you know, when man starts a religion like Scientology, when man starts a religion, it's all about money, sex, and power. And you want to get big names to endorse it like a product, you know? And in Christianity, all the expectations that you would have for launching a new brand of a product, you know, are not there. You've got prostitutes who are your first eyewitnesses of the risen Jesus. Female prostitutes. Females had no legal standing. According to Jewish law at the time, they were habitual liars. They were not considered equals with males. It was not, you had a whole group of women could say, you know, thus and so, and one man say that's not what happened, and the court would believe the one man over the testimony of women. They had no legal standing. Why would you start a religion with women? Prostitutes, no less. And then secondly, when you're going to start a religion, you don't give names, dates, times, and places. You make it sort of ethereal and wispy and sort of, you know, out there. Not names, dates, times, places. The Joseph of Arimathea, his tomb. This happened in front of eyewitnesses on this day. This person was, you know, King Herod. Went to see Caiaphas, etc. And they gave names, dates, times, and places. Probably took place about 33, 34 AD, by the way. So now, let's look at some of these arguments. Throughout history, there are essentially three kinds of arguments against the bodily resurrection of Christ. The hallucination theory, they all just had visions like Fatima. You had the swoon theory, he wasn't really dead. And then the third theory, of course, is the myth and conspiracy theory. This is where, you know, the early Christian group got together, led by Paul. This is the whole Pauline theology thing. Led by Paul, and they conspired to turn this human Jesus, this Jesus of history, into the Christ of faith. In liberal German scholarship, this was a big deal. Rudolf Bultmann went off on all this. And the idea was we turned the Jesus of history into the Christ of faith, something you'd expect to see on the National Geographic Channel around now, yeah, right before Easter. So there are wonderful counter arguments to each one of these. And so I don't know where you are on the spectrum. Can I encourage you? Be really skeptical. Just, I ain't buying it. It doesn't make any sense to me. What about? And bring all your whatabouts. And look at the evidence that is already in the text for this. Now, I don't have time to go through the four gospel accounts. By the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John each have an account of the resurrection appearance of Jesus. And, you know, the one angel, two angel thing in the two different gospels, and therefore it's lying. No, it's different perspectives, like people reporting on an accident. And you put all of these together and you come up with the following that I want to share with you. So I wish we had time to read them all. I wish this was a class, you know, an hour and a half class. We all had the Bibles in front of us and we were all reading them and you guys could ask questions as we go through. I've loved doing that in the past. If you're in a good Bible-believing church or in a small group, I encourage you to do that. And please be skeptical. This is not a leap into the absurd and trying to believe what you know isn't real, or even worse yet, you adopt the position where I'm not going to ask that question because God might not be able to answer it. Trust me, God is not in heaven going, man, I hope they don't ask that question. I don't have a good answer for that one. It's not the case. So bring all your skepticism. All right, first of all, regarding the hallucination theory, when a person or even a group has a hallucination altogether, it is never fixed in one specific location and then move. Nor is it as diverse as the resurrection appearances of Jesus. He was seen by over 500 people at one time. Now, all you had to do is to say, wait a minute, I was in Capernaum. There weren't 500 people there. There were seven people. They're lying. And yet, as the New Testament was gone out and these Jews were becoming Christians and no longer celebrating on the Sabbath on Saturday, they were worshiping on Sunday morning. They weren't meeting in the synagogues anymore. They were meeting house churches. A radical cultural social change was going on. All you had to do is say, wait a minute, I was there. I saw the body. And there are eyewitnesses all over the place. Remember, Jesus appeared not just one time. It's not like, you know, one of these silly ghost stories you see on cable television. It was for a period of 40 days. A number of post-resurrection appearances. One of them with at least 500 eyewitnesses at another time. And don't forget, Paul encountered the risen Christ years later. And so is that also another, you know, hallucination? You don't have hallucinations of groups of people repeated in multiple locations for a period of 40 days. It doesn't happen. How do you explain the entire history of the Western world based upon a hallucination, by the way? Why would the Jews have changed? The early church Jews, no doubt. Why did they change what I just said a minute ago? Change from their worship day? And why would they get baptized? Did you know it was anathema to be water baptized to a good Jew at the time? And that was the first sign of the internal, or external evidence of the internal change that had already happened. Why would you allow yourself to be Christianized? So these are just, and there's a whole bunch more, but we got to go to break. But that's just a hallucination theory. When we come back, I want to go through the two other ones and just lay out for you the swoon theory and especially the conspiracy theory. Now, the swoon theory is the idea that he didn't die. I think most of us have seen The Passion of the Christ. You get the idea. How in the world could you have endured all that and then trick people that you're in a glorified, risen body? And that's extremely unlikely because now, thanks to the media, we can sort of see what that must have looked like. But really, the one that I can't wait to get to and share with you is the conspiracy theory. I used to believe as an atheist that, oh, the Bible's just a bunch of myth and fantasy and fable. And, of course, it has things in there that look like prophecy. They were written after the event. You know, legend develops. You know, you tell a story. It's a telephone game. Tell a story, goes around the room. By the time it comes back, it's completely different. That's the whole idea. And they wanted to have this kind of messianic king figure, and he didn't overrule the Roman rulership in the ancient Near East, and so they had to come up with this sort of spiritual kingdom thing, and so they reverse engineered the whole thing. This is what liberal seminaries teach all the time. And folks, there is a great counter argument to that, and I can't wait to share that with you. We're going to do it straight ahead. So swoon theory and myth conspiracy theory coming up on the bodily resurrection of Christ on this Thursday, the day before Good Friday, on the Frank Pass Story Show here at 99.5 KKLA.